Now, very often people are kind enough to let you borrow one of their stories. You know, if you say, oh, I have this special thing, like, you know, I'm telling in, you know, this place, and it's Norwegian Caribbean Week, and you're the only person I know that has, you know, a Norwegian Caribbean story. But Merrill Kallhofer was kind enough to lend me one of his relatives. One of his relatives, Hezekiah Kallhofer, was a Gloucester fisherman. And he had been through some trying times out on the banks. He had been in a storm where his ship was lifted up by a rogue wave. And as they watched in terror and amazement, the wave threw them down right over another schooner, and they right amidships, and they cut it in half. And the wave pushed them on. They didn't even have time to stop and pick up any survivors. And he had been out in a dory in a fog, and it had been so cold that his hands froze to the oars. So he was about ready to do something else when he received word that he had that a very distant relative of his had died and left him the small fortune of $83. And then, so he signed off of his ship, and he took the train out to Pittsfield, Massachusetts, way out west. And there he went to the lawyer's office and received his inheritance. And he was thinking, well, what can I do with $83 plus the $7 that I still have left? When he was reading the Berkshire Eagle and he saw an ad for a beautiful hilltop farm, 100 plus acres farmhouse, 20 cows. And he thought, dairy farmer. Now that's something. That would be something, to have land, to have my own land, to have my own cows, to milk them in the morning. He was pretty sure he could handle milking a cow because he'd spent all those years hauling in all those codfish and all those nets. So he thought he could handle a cow. So he went off. He walked from Pittsfield uphill to Dalton and found the farm. There was a big fog on at the time, so when he found the farm, he really couldn't see much of it. He could see the farmhouse, and it was nice and snug, and he could see the barn, which was pretty big and smelled like cows, and he could see the cows, which were pretty cow-like. And he thought, 100 plus acres sounds good. And the price was only $60, which is why he was willing to walk all that way. And so he agreed to buy the farm. And he came back next day. And he took possession of the farm, and it was nighttime by the time everything was done. And he lay himself down in his own bedchamber of his own house and his own farm. And he woke up early the next morning, ready to go out and become a dairy farmer. And he went outside. And for once, the perpetual fog had lifted, and he could see all of his farm. It was one huge alpine hill. It was easily more than 100 acres, but it was straight up and down. And when he lined up the cows, because the previous owner had taught him the name, so he lined up the cows, Mossy, Bossy, Bossy, got them all lined up and headed them out of the barn, out to graze. They went out to the little yard in front of the slope. They got to the slope, and they turned around and went right back into the barn and started mooing. And that meant they were hungry. And he said, oh, I've got to feed these cows. And he found some old half-rotted bales of hay in the barn, and he fed them. And they ate most of the old straw. They weren't too happy about He realized if they didn't graze, he'd have to buy hay for them. And hay was expensive, 10 cents a bale. So he would get up, he would line them up in the morning, send them out. They'd get to the foot of the hill, turn right around, go back in the barn. They'd eat. He'd milk them. He'd live on some of the milk. He sold some of the milk. He made just enough from the milk to get himself a little food, a little tobacco, and to buy hay for his cows to eat. And he was pretty alone. He was used to being alone out on the sea, but here he was alone with the cows and that giant hill and the fog. He had a neighbor who would come by. The neighbor was a monomaniac. He had one topic of conversation, horseshoes. He loved the game of horseshoes. And even though he was a dairy farmer and had no horses, he knew everything there was about horseshoes. It was always going on about horseshoes. And try as he might to be polite, Hezekiah found his attention wandering. And they got horseshoes, horseshoes. I don't give a damn about horseshoes now. Now, if it was something about cow shoes, and the words cow shoes just floated in front of his mind like a mermaid seducing a lonely sailor far out at sea. It just floated there. It wouldn't go away. Cow shoes, cow shoes. And the next morning, he woke up. And he went to the barn, and he found some old scraps of lumber, and he began measuring and sawing them. And then he lined up his herd of cows. Mossy, Bossy, Flossy, he got all the rest of them. And then, on the starboard side, port and aft, he fastened a cow shoe to each one of his cows. This caused them to tilt up at an alarming rate. And he sent them out to the hill counterclockwise. Since they were tipped over so alarmingly when they got to the hill, they decided this wasn't so bad. And for once, they continued up onto the hill. At dinner time, he went and rang the bell and yelled, Mossy, Bossy, Fossy. And he heard them coming down around the hill. And for once, they'd had enough to eat without having to be fed expensive hay. So the next morning he got up and lined them up. And on the port side, fore and aft, he fastened the cow shoes and sent them off around the hill clockwise. And as far as I know, he lived to be a happy old dairy farmer.